RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi from RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. They are the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcast, and they are the creators of the RVFTA podcast network. They are also the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, and they have blogged for Good Sam, KOA, Camp Jellystone, Jayco, and Progressive. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be here, Jeremy. And last time on episode 12, we went to Turkey Swamp Park Campground in Freehold, New Jersey. Where are we going to this week?
We are going to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resort in Luray, Virginia. And for obvious reasons, from this point forward, we're just going to call it Jellystone Luray.
Take care of that mouthful.
Yeah, Jellystone Luray, as it's commonly known. And this was really a family favorite for us.
Yeah, it was one of the very first, it was the first Yogi Bear campground that we went to. And it was our first real resort campground experience. So we are happy to share it with everyone, especially because, as we'll get into more later, the juxtaposition of that resort campground near Shenandoah National Park and all of that wonderful hiking and just beautiful scenery was really phenomenal.
Now, Stephanie, once again, you've hit the nail on the head, because that really is the overarching thing that is so impressive about this campground, is that it's right by a gorgeous, I think, underrated national park, but it's like one of those resort type campgrounds that you'd often expect to find out in the middle of nowhere sometimes. So this has the perfect combination of it being a destination and an awesome campground.
Yeah, great mix. Okay, so let's zoom in for our listeners. Exactly where is this campground located?
So you're 2 hours west of Washington, D.C., about 96 miles from D.C. So this is really a great escape from people from the Washington, D.C. area. And the first time this campground was recommended to us was from somebody who lived in the metropolitan kind of Washington, D.C. area. And this was like their favorite getaway. Also, you're 4 miles west to downtown Luray, or it is 4 miles west to downtown Luray. You're about 5 miles from Luray Caverns, and you're about 5.5 miles from Shenandoah National Park. Now, Shenandoah National Park is very long and skinny, so you're 5.5 miles from the Thornton Gap entrance, which is a great entrance. I mean, it's a great place to enter the park. So,
yeah, it is. And we'll talk more about that later in our activities and attractions section. We'll really describe the whole geography of the national park.
Good.
But for now, let's focus on the campground.
That it is a Jellystone franchise, but it's actually owned by a company that owns 5 different Jellystones. So they own one in Gardner, New York, which is sort of like lower Catskills or upper Hudson Valley, depending on how you look at it. They own one in Memphis, Tennessee, in Hill Country, Texas, in Hagerstown, Maryland, and in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And what they do is basically they buy these Jellystones and they pump a ton of money into them, and they really are going for the resort for all of the different properties they own. I'd say this is a large campground, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. It really is. That doesn't mean that it has a city-like feel to it like some of the bigger campgrounds does. I think it does tend to feel bucolic, even though it's large, mainly because you have gorgeous views of the mountains surrounding you. You have a big open field. It feels airy. It feels nice.
Yeah, it's on 73 acres. There's well over 100 sites. I actually started counting the sites on the site map, and I like hit 100 and I stopped. So it is a large campground, but it does feel like a beautiful kind of wooded, open, airy campground. It's just got all these different great elements at once. There are areas that are shaded. Then there is that big open field, but it doesn't have that city feel that some resort campgrounds do have. I would agree with you 100% on that.
Cabins?
Dozens of cabins. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, there were more cabins at this campground than I've seen at maybe any campground. So that is definitely an option. The cabins are really a terrific option here.
All right, so let's get the really, really, really important piece of the puzzle out of the way first. What's the price range to stay at this campground?
So there are actually a wide variety of prices at this campground, depending on what season it is and depending on if it's a holiday weekend. So for water, electric, and sewer sites, it can range from $44 all the way up to $124 on, like, say, the 4th of July weekend. So the pricing really is tiered based on what time of year it is. It's going to be a bit cheaper and more towards that $44 in the early spring months, and then it's going to creep towards 100 in the summer and then bust over 100 for those big holiday weekends.
All right. Usually pricing like that indicates popularity. Let's face it. So for those holiday weekends, for those big, you know, thematic weekends, do we need to book really far in advance to get a spot?
I would say absolutely. Now, I'd say any Jellystone you're looking at, you're going to want to book in advance for those popular Halloween weekends and for your Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. Now, since we did mention the price, I do want to say, though, that for the most part, the price for those full hookup sites falls around $70 to $80. Some of those sites that go over $100 are the red carpet and premium red carpet, which are – you don't have to get one of those, frankly, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
right.
They're really nice, and I think we stayed on a red carpet, not
right.
even a premium. So you don't have to spend $120, certainly. And I think the really important thing to mention here, because we're talking price, is that this Jellystone, everything else is free once you're there, almost everything else, except maybe like laser tag.
Laser tag, right.
You're not paying extra for mini golf. You're not paying extra for the water slides. There's just a lot included in that price. So I actually think of that price as a bargain when you consider all of the free entertainment you're getting packed into that nightly price.
Yeah. And, you know, also while we're on price, I'd like to say that some of those sites that were in the $70 to $80 range for full hookups that weren't the red carpet sites, I felt like we're in a very nice area of the campground. We're like a little bit of a quieter section, very shaded, and you know, I would have been happy to stay there.
Yeah, Stephanie and I, we had a little debate on which site. We were in a red carpet site, which is at the top of the hill by the playground. I loved our site because we could sit at our site and relax and watch the boys play on the playground. You actually liked the cheaper sites better because they were more shaded and there was less traffic.
I liked our site and I thought it was perfect for while we were there. But I can also imagine being happier on a different trip in the other section that was towards, I would say, looking up the hill away from the camp store, the section that was to the right. Because, you know, we always say to be careful about that entry and exit road, right? That loop road that most campgrounds do. And those red carpet sites that are at the top of the hill, they offer some great stuff. Concrete pads, right?
They were big, too.
Mm-hmm, very nice sized, huge back-in area. Then also, like you said, we were right across from the playground, which for us, having four-year-olds, I think, when we visited there, was primo, because they were at that age where they can play without supervision at the playground, but we're right there. So they could just run over. The entire time we were there, they just ran over to the playground and played. And I could be making dinner.
Would pull through and pass right by our site as they were heading over to the other part of the campground.
Anybody coming into the campground pretty much came past our site. And that is always something that, you know, can be a sticking point for me. So
absolutely.
All right. So what other – we mentioned the playground. What other kinds of amenities were there?
So it may seem strange to start with the camp store under amenities, but they do have a terrific camp store with all the branded Yogi Bear merchandise, which is a lot of fun for the kids. The primary amenity that got our boys excited was probably that big water slide, wouldn't you say?
Well, that was the first time we'd ever stayed at a campground with a large water slide like that, and it was fun.
Even for us, mm-hmm. even for the adults.
Oh, sure, yeah. You want to go down that.
Yeah, so it was like 30 feet tall. It was like 400 feet long. It was like a real solid water slide.
Mats, too. They had mats they had that mats. You could go down
on. The boys would go again and again and again and again. That was no additional charge. And it wasn't that crowded. Like, the line moved pretty quickly if there was a line. And there were points in the day where there was no line and you could just climb up to the top and slide down.
Right. Someone up at the top, a lifeguard down at the bottom. That's always nice.
Not one, but two bounce pillows.
Which was good because, again, it's a larger campground. So you know how those bounce pillows can get overcrowded if there's too many kids. So it was nice that there were two bounce pillows to spread kids out.
One bigger, one smaller. And so the big one often did have the teenagers and did have kids being a little bit more like – you know, showing off on there, doing backflips and stuff like that. Now, to have
God bless them, they're having fun. Oh, it's just when you have your little kids. Yeah, when you have your little kids, you're like,
our boys could then head over to the smaller of the two bounce pillows and get their bounce on. There is an arcade. Love it or hate it, there is an arcade.
Our boys never saw it.
Yes. Now they seek out the arcade a little bit more. At that point, we could still deceive them. Lots of outdoor sports, which I think we both really like. So there were basketball hoops. There was a volleyball court. There was a Gaga ball mm-hmm. court. And we loved Gaga ball, which we've only seen at Yogi Bear Campground so far.
Right, so far. We hear they exist other places, but we haven't seen it.
There's mini golf, which is included in your nightly camping fee. There's also an outdoor movie theater right now. So lots of amenities. And again, I'm
fishing.
Yes. And
paddle boats.
Nice little fishing pond, paddle boats. I knew I wasn't going to get everything in. Mm-hmm. That's what I said. There's just so much there. And though Shenandoah National Park is nearby, though Luray Caverns is nearby, to be cliche, you don't have to leave this campground if you don't want to.
Right. If you live in the area, and I think a lot of people that come here are local campers, if they live in the area, I'm sure they come there and they don't go to Shenandoah National Park.
I couldn't imagine like being there and not going into Shenandoah National Park because I think Shenandoah National Park is astonishingly beautiful. Mm-hmm. So lots of reasons to leave the campground. But if you just want to go and unwind for a few days, plenty to do here on the property. Absolutely.
Okay. So those are the amenities. Those are things that are there, all included. You do have to wear a wristband.
Yeah, I think that we carried them around.
Yes,
though.
You can carry them around.
And if you lose them, or they even say, like, oh, if your kids are uncomfortable and you want to cut them off at night, just come get new ones.
Get new ones the next day. So those are the amenities. What about the activities?
Off the hook list of activities every day. And it wasn't just on the weekends. So a lot of these more resort type campgrounds are going to have great weekend activities. Granted, it was August when we were there. There was a daily schedule of activities, and it went from the flag raising at, what, 9 a.m.?
9 o'clock, yeah.
To like 8 o'clock at night. So I've never seen activities like this before, except at a couple other of the Jellystone parks, frankly. But there's laser tag. There's hey rides, okay, with the characters, and they do songs there, right? So when you're going on the hay ride, you're also singing along. There's arts and crafts. Story time with the characters. We mentioned the flag raising in the morning, which wasn't that such a nice, sweet part of the day, starting with the flag raising?
I have to say that that's actually one of my favorite things. It sounds silly. It's one of my favorite things that some of the Jellystones do is they do the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning and they raise the flag. And I never would have imagined that I would appreciate that so much. But for kids, they just love morning rituals. Like when you're camping at a new place, they get into those rituals so quickly. And so if you go somewhere and you're like, oh, it's the flag raising, they scurry down there every single morning. I love saying the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning. It like takes you back.
It gets everyone into this sort of like thankful, appreciative mode. Like we're out here camping in this big, beautiful country of ours. Let's enjoy this day. And this day is a blessing.
Yeah, maybe it's the teacher in me. I don't know.
It sets the tone for the day. There was coloring in the cafe. And by the way, the cafe had really good food at a reasonable price, good pancakes, good ice cream. Then there's also themed weekends. So almost, I think every weekend is a themed weekend. And I'm not going to run through that whole list. But things like Christmas in July, Double Dare weekend, Father's Day weekend, all of those different things. And then on those themed weekends, they do contests like the marshmallow toss, the jelly bean relay. again, your cup runneth over activity-wise. There's just too many to list.
Yeah, what we would do is look through in the morning, of course, not telling the kids anything until we decided which activities would fit into our touristing, you know, schedule also. And then after that, we'd be like, okay, well, there's story time with Cindy Bear at 4. We'll definitely make it for that. We'd give them the heads up about the things that we would get to.
You need to pick and choose because the kids could run you ragged, you know, just racing from one thing to the next. So I think Stephanie makes a great point that, like, we'd pick something for the morning, then we'd go out into Shenandoah National Park and maybe have something for late afternoon. Now, older kids could really keep themselves occupied all day long to some degree.
Yeah, and on their own, I'm sure. You could probably say, see ya.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they could really just kind of run from one
safe
thing.
Community, you know, old school feel to it as well.
Okay, so we really did talk a lot about the sites already, but were there any other site details that you wanted to share with everyone?
I would just point out that there's lots of pull-throughs. So if you're a fan of pull-throughs, there's plenty of pull-through options. The pull-throughs were not huge necessarily, but definitely not small, just about the right size. We did love our red carpet site, which was at the top of the hill by the playground. We were in either site 203 or 204. Great site. And the whole row was really nice. And that was sites 200 through 211.
But very exposed. So like I said before, and also the other sites, if you're looking up the hill from the campground, the sites on the left, that is that entrance road. So note that when you're looking at the campground map, to book. Note the sites to the left and then pull up around to these sites. They're really nice sites, but they're going to have more traffic and they're going to be more exposed. Keep going around to the other side, to the right, and you're going to see more secluded private campsites.
Yeah, so Stephanie makes a great point. If you care a lot about shade or if you want sun, I mean, some people want to be in bright sun. There are options for shaded sites and for sites that are sunny. So you might just want to ask very particularly about that.
All right, what kind of insider details can we offer these people? What scoop are we going to give them?
I think our big scoop was that we went at the very end of August. And at that point, all the kids in Virginia were back at school. So it was the last, say, 10 or 15 days of August we were there. And it was perfect summer weather. It was warm. The pools were open. The water slide was open. The campground was not crowded, though, and that was just awesome for us.
Yeah, it was the perfect time to go. So if your school schedule, like ours, you know, starts after Labor Day weekend, that last couple of weeks in August is a great time to visit. Anything else?
I think that's really the big tip there. I think we gave all the other tips. This is the type of campground that just about everything is working right. So there's not that many secret details to enjoying this campground. I mean, you're just going to have a great time there.
Yeah. And, you know, we really did not mention the customer service at this
you're
campground.
Right.
But I do want to bring that up. I have to say that this was some of the best campground customer service that we'd ever experienced before.
Top five.
The rangers at the front station, you know, they call that the ranger station at the front gate. They were wonderful, polite, professional, helpful.
They bring you to your site.
On the first night that we got there, we got there a little bit later and we took the boys down to the pool and the pool was closing at, I don't know, maybe 8, the pool closed. Well, we got there a little later, we ate dinner, we went down to the pool. I'm looking at my watch or my phone or whatever, and I'm thinking, the pool's closing. And the ranger was coming over. And I looked at him and I said, oh, well, we're coming. We're getting out. And he goes, it's okay. It's all right. I'll wait. I'll look for you. I'll see when you leave. Like, how nice was that? I was blown away. He was like, I'm here. It's no big deal. I'll lock up when you leave.
There's about a dozen stories we could tell like that. Now, a lot of the other camp workers were college-aged students, but they, I'm just telling you, they were well-trained. Like, they were trained in the art of customer service. It was not just an accident that every single one of them was polite and friendly and customer-centered. Remember the guy that helped the boy with arts and crafts?
Oh, yeah. Didn't tie-dye. He was so nice. When they did the hayride with the characters, they sang songs. And, you know, the teenager up at the front is singing loudly and, like, boisterously along at the front of the hayride. They really made these kids feel like, I mean, they were camp counselors. That's what they were. You know, they felt like camp counselors to me. So we had a lovely customer service experience. And kudos to this company. I think they really train their employees right.
Absolutely. If you owned a campground and you wanted to go see, like, you know, like kind of give yourself a lesson or your staff a lesson in how to run a campground, I'd send you to Jellystone Luray, frankly.
Yeah. So having said that, nobody's perfect.
Nobody is perfect. And frankly, when we were talking about this, I was straining. Like, I was like, I don't know what to point out as something that could be improved or something I didn't like. You did come up with something that was worth mentioning, though.
Well, some people don't mind these at all, but I happen to not be a fan of places that feel like they have buzzing golf carts. And I, you know, this wasn't like the worst.
But again, we were there during a quiet week. So if you were there during a busy week, I think that it might be a bit of an issue.
Right. So one thing that I notice at some campgrounds is there's a culture of younger golf cart drivers, as in perhaps kids that don't have their regular driver's license yet and might not be actually road aware. And, you know, the sun starts to set and these kids start buzzing around on their golf carts. This, you know, at Jellystone Luray, there were definitely younger kids buzzing around on golf carts at night. Now, the Rangers shut down everything at quiet hour.
That's
true. Very effectively. So it's not like this was going on late. But at the same time, I always feel like golf carts are a little more dangerous than people act like, you know, like
I don't care if we sound like old fuddy-duddies on this issue, because we have little kids and we've just seen this, that it does just feel like, you know,
some people are
totally
going really
safe.
Fast. And
well,
if my
and
kid
also
darts,
kids dart out into the road, we all know that.
Yeah. All right. And now also another thing to mention, this is not the campground's fault. This is a very rural area, but do not expect strong Wi-Fi or service at this campground. You could go down to the cafe to get a stronger Wi-Fi signal.
You were going down. When you had to send some emails, you were driving down or walking down to the cafe. I did forget about that. Mm-hmm. Now, that may have improved because we were there over 2 years ago at this point. So maybe it's better now, but it wasn't great at the time.
Yeah. So just don't plan on having great connection while you're there. This is a rural area, so that's just good advice anytime you're kind of going away from an urban area.
All right. So anything else about the campground?
No.
I think that covers it. So why don't we?
I think that's it. So that was our complete and total review of the Jellystone Luray in Luray, Virginia. And we are going to be back in a minute to tell you all about the amazing activities and attractions that are around this campground. Talk to you in a minute.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You just heard a great review of the Jellystone Luray in Luray, Virginia, about 2 hours west of Washington, D.C. Now, the great thing about this campground that really takes it over the top is you're about 5 miles away from Shenandoah National Park. And I think it really is one of our great national parks of the East. I think it's underrated. And from the Jellystone Luray, you can get in there very easily. You can access a great section of the park. Stephanie, what are some of the things that we really enjoyed doing in Shenandoah National Park?
Well, you know, Shenandoah National Park, there's some things you have to know about it before you try to explore it. First of all, it is a long and skinny national park. It's 105 miles from top to bottom. Okay, very long. So there's Front Royal at the very top, the northern end, and then there's Rockfish Gap entrance at the south end, okay? The Shenandoah, the Luray Jellystone is not right in the middle. It's more towards the northern end,
side.
But it's right by the Thornton Gap entrance station. So our advice is to explore the area that is closer to the Thornton Gap entrance station, which, lucky for you, also happens to be one of the most popular areas of the park. It's called the Central District, okay? And it stretches from mile marker 31 to 61, all right? And included in that area of the park is Pinnacles, all right? These famous overlooks. Pinnacles, Stoneyman.
And you're driving Skyline Drive throughout the entire park. And the Skyline Drive, every inch of it's pretty much beautiful. And then there's all these pull-offs that Stephanie's talking about.
Yeah, you could drive the 100 miles from top to bottom, and you could just sit there and pull off every 300 feet, every 400 feet, and have a beautiful view. But the most popular in that area are those that I mentioned, plus Skyland, Big Meadows, right? Also in the Central District, right near the Thornton Gap entrance station, is the Bird Visitor Center. Now, this visitor center is very active. It has a lot of scheduled ranger programs, often during the peak season.
Bear safety, things like that. Literally, bear safety courses.
They love to teach
and
the bear safety.
And we saw bears in Shenandoah National Park. Bears and, or bear? Is bear its own plural?
Yeah, bears. We saw bears.
Okay.
And many people do see them in Shenandoah. There's a very active bear population there, and they're really trying to educate people about food, safety, etc. So there are those ranger programs there. Now there's also movies, and they're short, 10 to 15 minute movies that you can go in. I think we watched one or two of them. They range from showing more of the natural elements of the park, the different geographical features, to showing more of the history.
And the history, there was some controversy in the history as well, and they didn't hide that fact in the educational materials that the people were having their land seized, right?
Well, not only did they not hide the fact, but that brings me to my very favorite part of the Bird Visitor Center. You cannot go to this area of the park without looking through the historical exhibit that they have at the Bird Visitor Center. I think it's one of the best, most interesting, and compelling exhibits that I've seen at a national park. It really dives into all the controversy over the Civilian Conservation Corps' seizure of all of the private lands. In this area, there were over 500 families displaced by the creation of Shenandoah National Park.
Now, we felt when we went to Great Smoky Mountain National Park that was, I don't know if sugar-coated is the right word, but they certainly weren't being as forthright about that history in the actual NPS displays and educational materials, where in Shenandoah, it really felt like it was part of the story.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's absolutely true. In the Great Smoky Mountains, they would have all those homes or those churches, and they were giving you historical details about these families without really saying, like, what happened to them, right?
Yeah, it was a big difference to me.
Yeah, so this exhibit was, it was tough for us with three young kids to really focus and read, but I actually took the time. They have all these primary sources. They have letters that people wrote. They have all these land deeds and tax records to see how much land was worth versus how much the government was offering to pay these people. They had stories of the holdouts, the people that wouldn't leave. And I'm telling you, if you like that sort of historical exhibit, this is one of the best I've seen in a national park, worth the time. Don't rush through it. Really read it.
Yeah, and Stephanie mentioned, when you have little kids, you might be tempted to skip it, but time it with a bathroom break and maybe snack time and, get them a little something at the store or whatever so that you can also enjoy that exhibit. It is so worth the time.
All right. You can also go to the Rapidan Camp, which was President Hoover's summer home, right? And President Hoover was, of course, the first president who started developing Shenandoah. It was finished by FDR, but you can go and you can visit that, the home, and see the summer retreat. Also at the visitor center, we took one of our favorite hikes,
which was right across the street from the visitor center, I believe.
Right across the street. Yeah, right there. You depart there. It's about 2 miles round trip. It's called the Story of the Forest Hike. It is a scavenger hunt-based hike. You can get the booklet at the visitor center. It's one of the best scavenger hunts I've seen, too, because it's not just like find an acorn, find an oak leaf. What they do is they give you sort of these clues about things that are shaped a certain way along the path. So, like, now look for a tree that looks like like it's bent over sideways, or that's shaped like this, or looks like something clawed at it.
Allowing so the kids to use some imagination in that process of the scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah. The way that it was done, the kids really got interested in looking ahead for a very specific item, not just an item in general, right? Which is what a lot of scavenger hunts are, like a mushroom. So I love the way the scavenger hunt was done. I highly recommend it. And it's interesting for adults
and
as well.
And we saw deer all throughout that hike. You know,
very
kind of
common.
Like, yeah, hiding in the woods or running across the path. It was a very pretty little hike.
Mm-hmm. And then other good hikes that are right in that central district area, the most popular hike perhaps in the entire park is the Dark Hollow Falls hike. That's about a mile and a half round trip. Very strenuous because it's steep. It's you go down to the bottom of the falls and then you have to basically go like straight back up to return. So that is not going to be like a meandering hike like Story of the Forest, but you'll get a good view of the falls.
And you might skip that if the kids are in a backpack.
Yeah, it's a little – you can do it, but it's definitely physically demanding. Another great hike that we did was the Stony Man Trail hike, and this is popular too. Easy 1.5 mile loop around, slight grade up, but
very
beautiful,
slight.
Stunning
very,
view.
Yeah, dramatic view from the top. I mean, it feels like you hiked 10 miles to get to that view, and really you've just hiked about two. So bring the camera on that hike, absolutely.
Yeah, we actually had one of the pictures that was the picture that I think Progressive put up like on one of our very first pieces, like across their banner on their blog, was a picture of me up there.
It looks like you're on the clouds practically.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty captivating, right? Okay. So that's the visitor center. Those are the hikes in Shenandoah. Now, anything else that you want to add about the park?
Big Meadow's a nice place for a picnic lunch. You do see a lot of deer and bear there, a lot of wildlife, dawn or dusk more likely than middle of the day.
Exactly.
But we, you know, you definitely do see bear and deer in Shenandoah. I mean, both times that we went, I think we really, it was like a bonanza of wildlife viewing as well. So, no, it's just a beautiful park. And Skyline Drive, just like Stephanie said at the beginning, you can pull over. There's gorgeous wildflowers. There's gorgeous views everywhere. Don't go to Jellystone Leroy without taking that trip into Shenandoah National Park. Now, the next activity you have, I think, is a great rainy day activity, and that's Leroy Caverns.
Sure, but it can also be a very hot day activity.
Good point. Touché.
Or, you've been dragging those kids around hiking and canoeing and rafting, and you know what? You would just want a change of pace. So you can have a very outdoors adventure. The kids maybe have been going crazy at the campground, you know, doing all the activities, and it's just time to do something a little different, change up the scenery a bit. Leroy Caverns is worth it. Now, it is $26 for adults, $14 for children. Kids 5 and under are free, and I really like that age point for free kids, right? Because if it's hard to pay.
Otherwise, that can be a heavy
ticket price, yeah. But anyway, so that is a little pricey, and you may say, well, we don't know if we want to visit or not. I kind of think it's worth it. You know, I was pretty blown away.
I was too. I felt like we were on another planet, basically, or in the middle of the earth, basically.
Yeah.
And even if you have the, you know, 3 or 4 kids and you end up forking out $100 or something, I would still say it's a must.
Yeah. So you only can see it on a guided tour, okay? It's a mile and a half. You descend down into the underground caverns, obviously, and you follow a tour guide through. Now, you need to get there at opening if you're going to go, because it is a line for the guided tours. You don't schedule times or anything like that. So people just get in line, and the lines can really get long throughout the day.
We were there early, and we did not wait long at all. When we left our tour, the line was very long.
Yeah, it was out the doors.
The line was out the doors.
Exactly. This is just, you have to do this, get there when it opens. We were on the second tour, I think. We barely waited, so it was worth it.
It was not a steep or strenuous walk down, from what I remember, for that tour.
It's not. But it is a lot of stairs, and they give the exact amount on the website, you know, however many hundred of stairs it is to climb down. Now, the thing is you can have a stroller down in there, because it is like a winding path through.
I forgot about that, yes.
But if you bring a stroller, you will have to carry it down those stairs. You may or may not want to do it. We brought the hiking backpack. I think it's a good type of environment for a hiking backpack if a smaller child of yours will stay in one. Another thing, kids are engaged in this. Even though, yes, it's a tour, there is plenty for them to look at and be interested in. So I do think it's kind of magical for them.
And I thought it was just the right length for little kids. Because correct me if I'm wrong, it was an hour.
Yep.
It was about an hour long. So little kids could handle this entire hour. And it was magical to the boys. They were absolutely captivated the whole time. I mean, they thought they were doing something really cool, unique, and special.
Now, another thing, bring jackets and sweaters because it is always 54 degrees in the caverns.
Right,
okay?
Now, it's 54
right.
degrees.
All year long, all the time, it's 54 degrees.
That's crazy. It never creeps up to 55.
No, it is 54. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a completely stable environment, right? That is why these stalactites and stalagmites have been able to grow
like my grandfather's house growing up. It was always 54 degrees. It was like always 59 degrees.
So you do in the summer want to bring a jacket or a sweater. Okay. Now, here's the thing.
Or in the winter because it's always 54 degrees.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's tons of extras there. Okay. You may or may not want to do these extras. There are extra – there are things that cost additional money.
You mean like the rope climbing?
So, right. There's gem mining. Now, for us, we're not going to pay extra for gem mining.
And this is not inside the caverns. This is on the property of the caverns.
It's like a complex. Yeah. So you can go around to the different buildings on the complex and do it. But things like gem mining for our kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're done with it in like 3 seconds. It's just so not worth the money ever. But some kids love that and they like treasure those gems and blah, blah, blah. So you might want to pay $7, $9 for gem mining.
Some kids named Theo.
No, he doesn't treasure it that long. Not long enough to make it worth it. There's a garden maze. Again, that might be your bag. I personally do not like mazes with children.
But you did like the ropes course.
The ropes course, however, might be really fun for you and your kids. It's like you get into the harness and you're attached to those runners up top, and you can go and you can kind of like step on fun like little stepper stools and go up different planks, and there's all these different levels and you can kind of hold on to the ropes as you go through it. It was fun. I don't know. It may or may not be worth $9 to you. You know, like I think that's what that extra ticket
I don't think
price
the add-ons
was.
Were that expensive.
Yeah. Well, I think you get up. There's all these different prices because you can get it like grouped together, you know, right, for like three add-ons. You just have to look at your options and see.
Do the caverns and get yourself back to the campground or back to Shenandoah National Park.
Or you might like golfing. Golfing there. Like, there is the Caverns Country Club Resort. So, you know, if you like to golf, then do a round of golf.
We're not
right?
really country club people, though, are we?
I don't think they let us in. But some of our listeners might be. They might let them in. There is food on site. You could have lunch there. We think there's better options nearby that we'll talk about, you know, right, in a couple of minutes. It's kind of like fast foody. Options.
Yeah, I wouldn't plan on eating lunch there personally.
Yeah. Oh, and then last thing, there's a vineyard there that you can do tastings at. So, you know, you might do a tasting, play a round of golf. I don't know if you're that of that persuasion.
Do the tasting after you tour the caverns. Now, lots of tubing and rafting around Jellystone Luray. So what are some of your options for tubing and rafting? It is definitely an outdoor adventure area.
Yeah, if you go during the summer, you will definitely want to do tubing or rafting. It's a nice river for that because it really isn't too wild of a river, right? It's fast enough to be fun, slow enough for the average family to be able to enjoy their time on the water without feeling overwhelmed. Two options for outfitters. There's tons in the area, but two very reputable options are the Shenandoah River Outfitters. They do all different types of group sizes, all different types of kayak, canoe, you know, rafting, overnights, whatever, and also downriver canoe. Same thing. You just go to their websites. Of course, we always have the links in the show notes, and you can see all of their options for what you may want to do. Get on the river if you're going to be there in the summer. It's worth it.
This is easily a week's vacation with all of these options. National park, great campground, tubing, rafting, also lots of good food in the area, or maybe not lots, but there are some good options.
There absolutely are good options. I don't feel that this is particularly a foodie area. And if anybody from, I know we do have a lot of listeners from this area, so don't freak out at me. You can send me all of your food recommendations that you have, and I will include them post hoc in the show notes. I don't want to undermine good options. But, you know, I do feel that this is the kind of area where you might want to plan to have dinners and lunches at the campground more so than going and trying to find restaurants out and about.
And you're
going to
be driving around a bit if you decide to do that.
Yeah, because it is a spread out region for that. So, but however, having said that, Triple Crown Barbecue in Luray, great sort of road foodie option, picnic table-y kind of window service, you know, just like real like low key fun and excellent barbecue, okay? Like definitely top tier barbecue.
And good for the family with kids, mm-hmm. traveling with kids.
Now, another thing is you mentioned picnics at like Big Meadows, and this is a great area for to pick up a picnic lunch in the morning and to bring it into the park with you. So anyway, Gathering Grounds Patisserie and Cafe in Luray, really nice place. One of those quintessential soup sandwich quiches, breads, desserts, pastries, you know, like that kind of like upscale-y joint like that. Like
a little hipper.
Yeah, right. You know, so you can get nice sandwiches and soups and everything and bring it on a picnic. Also coffee. You can get nice coffees,
coffee,
you know, cappuccino, stuff like that. And the last recommendation that we had for food in the area is Spelunker's Drive-Thru. Okay. This is in Front Royal, a little bit farther to the north. Not a lot. I think we're talking about a 20-minute drive north from the Luray Jellystone. But this is your roadside burger and Shake Shack. Fun, creative menu. I love the fact that they serve the malt vinegar with their fries, right? Like they just have that burger Shake Shack down. You go on a really long hike, go on a really long tubing ride, and then go and eat your burger and your shake, and
you
it will be a perfect day.
A whole different section of the park. You know, one of the things with Shenandoah National Park is you're not going to see all of it, right? But you could see the Luray area and that Front Royal area. So does that cover activities in the area around Jellystone Luray?
Well, that's as much as we have for this week's Campground of the Week. There are tons more activities in this area. It is a fantastic destination.
It's a week's vacation. We have had friends go for a weekend or a long weekend, and you just can't hit everything. You know, you can't get into the park, get to the Luray Caverns, enjoy the campground in just that weekend. So I would recommend taking a week's vacation to this great campground. So Stephanie, thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, Jeremy, anytime. And I'll talk to you again on a Campground of the Week.
You absolutely will. And thank you so much to our sponsor Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. We'll see you at the campground.
See you there.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.